السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. It is only with the fazal karam and ihsan of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to gather in His house to fulfill this obligation as far as duty of performing our Jumu'ah Salah. So many people are in places or situations where they can't perform their Jumu'ah Salah. So many are in prison, innocently imprisoned. They can't make their Jumu'ah Salah. Live in places where there is no Jumu'ah Salah taking place. And then there is the lamentable situation of those who are living in places where Jumu'ah is taking place. They have the ability also to go for Jumu'ah Salah, but there is no tawfiq. Salbe tawfiq takes place. Sometime when we turn away from Allah Ta'ala and we take the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala for granted, then Allah Ta'ala removes the tawfiq of doing good and the tawfiq to make tawbah. So we beg Allah Ta'ala not to remove that ni'mat from us. There is a dua that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawuli afiyatik wa fujaati niqmatik wa jami'i sakhatik. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, during the Ramadan months, so sometime after Fajr namaz he used to have a little nasihat, short majlis, and in those majlis sometime he used to discuss du'as. And this dua also was a dua that he had discussed in one Ramadan Sharif. So we are not going to discuss the whole dua, but the first part of the dua, that, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the removal of your bounties from me. That I am enjoying certain bounties, and Allah Ta'ala, I seek refuge in you that you don't take these bounties away. So sometime when we read this dua or we think about the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, then our mind goes to worldly bounties. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with a good home, good motor car, business, job, wife, children, wealth. Our mind goes to those things, health, etc. But greater than that, those are also ni'mats. We must thank Allah Ta'ala for those ni'mats. Allah Pak mustn't take those ni'mats away also. But greater than that is the ni'mat of iman, the ni'mat of the tawfiq to carry out a'mal saliha, to carry out good deeds. That's such a great ni'mat. And if a person, yesterday I was listening to one bayan, so the person who was giving the bayan, he mentioned that a person for 20 years, he lived in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Then he got involved in some evil company, bad company, and for the next 20 years of his life, he lived in the masiyat, in the disobedience of Allah. So it can happen like that. That a person sometime, he can be going strong, and then something happens, and then there's salbe tawfiq. So each time we come to the masjid, each time Allah Ta'ala allows for us to open the Quran Sharif, to take Allah Ta'ala's name, to send durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mustn't take these things for granted. We must make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will increase you in His bounties. So you must thank Allah Ta'ala. Just as if somebody has to now come and give us some big hadiah or something, how we'll thank that person? And we'll thank Allah Pak also. If somebody has got some debts and one family member comes and says, well, don't worry now, just tell me who you're owing and I'll sort it out. Now how much we'll thank that person and how much we'll thank Allah Pak, Ya Allah, you took care of my need. So when Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to carry out nek amal, to make tawbah, to make istighfar, whatever it may be, we must thank Allah Ta'ala. Because that wealth is such that we can't count. It's such that if it is banked for us in the akhirat, there's no end to it. Other things we will leave behind. But this is what we will take. In one hadith sharif, Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that three things follow the janazah. A person's family follows the janazah, his wealth follows the janazah, and his amal. Two things will return. The family, they will go back home, nobody is going to sit there in the Qabristan. The wealth, this will go away, it will become somebody else's. Sometime the family too will become somebody else's. The wife may get married to somebody else. The children, they may start calling somebody else, Papa and Abba and Daddy and all that. The family too will become somebody else's. The only thing, our worth, is our iman and our amal. That is our worth. Everything else we'll leave behind. It's only our iman and our amal. That is our worth. That is what Allah Ta'ala is going to judge us by. So an elderly person, sometime when you speak to the elderly, the reality of the world and the reality of the hereafter. Because for them, if Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, death is so real. Elderly person aches, everything is creaking and paining and aching. You can't enjoy much of the dunya anymore. And death is a reality. They've seen now, so many family members are gone. Our contemporaries are all gone. Just now our number is going to be called. So an elderly person living in a cold place, so the family is telling that elderly person, let's see, we need to get you some spencers. It's cold, winter now, we need to get. You Durban people, mashallah, you all don't know what all that means. In cold areas now, people will know all that. So they're telling this elderly person that you need to get some. So that person said, "Nay, rawadi, te handu rawadi." It's cold now. The old ones are now worn out. So that person says, "Where am I going to live to wear that thing? I must buy that. Where am I going to live to wear that thing?" It reminds of one hadith that Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went by one family, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and they were fixing one wall of the house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, "What's this? What you all doing?" So they said, "No, this wall is gone a bit weak, so we're just sorting it out." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Death will come quicker. Death will come quicker. You worried about strengthening the wall. Your moat will come quicker." So not to say you can't strengthen the walls, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time turned their attention to the akhirat. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum from the Ashabu Suffa, sometime when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be performing salah, they used to fall down unconscious due to hunger. We can't even understand this, that a person is falling down unconscious due to hunger. So the villages, people coming from the farm areas, they used to think that these people are mad. What are they falling down here for now? But these people were suffering hunger. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would finish salah and then he'll go to them. But what would he say to them? He used to say to them that if you only knew what Allah Ta'ala has got in store for you in the akhirat, that this hunger you're experiencing, this difficulty you're going through, you're falling down unconscious, if you only knew what Allah Pak got in store for you, you'll make dua that Allah Pak must give you more destitution. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't turn their attention that, see, by now you'll need to start working and... No, anything, he turned the attention to the akhirat. He made them think of the hereafter of the akhirat. So what I actually wanted to discuss was one khutbah, one sahabi of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Utbah bin Ghazwan radiallahu ta'ala, and I think his name was. So he was a Badri sahabi, meaning he took part in the Battle of Badr, and he took part in many jihads with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, in the zamana of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu an appointed him as the governor of Basra. So this was like in the 14th Hijri, that he became now, they had now, you know, Futuh took place, they were victorious, and he was now made the governor of Basra. So he delivered a khutbah at that time. And in that khutbah, he mentioned to the congregation, he said that, see, the world is coming to an end. And it has already announced its departure. It has announced that it's coming to an end. This world is getting finished. The only thing that remains of this world, I'm just explaining to you, give you an explanation, but this is the example he gave. It's like how if somebody has to drink this water up, so you drink, you put the glass down, there will always be that one drop will remain. You know, you drink your tea, you put it down, then you see one drop there at the bottom of the cup. So he says that's all that's remaining of this world. Nothing else. In other words, the time to Qiyamah now is very close. So he says that you are moving towards Akhirat. The dunya is moving away from you. You are moving towards the hereafter. So prepare with your amal the best that you can do for that life over there. And then he explained, he said that Jahannam is such a place that if a stone is thrown in Jahannam, it would continue falling for 70 years without reaching the bottom. That's how deep this Jahannam is, how huge it is. And then he went on to say, but a day will come when this Jahannam will be full. Although it's so huge, so deep, but a day is going to come when the Jahannam is going to be full. And then he asked the congregation, he said, are you surprised? Are you surprised? And then he says that Jannat is such that just the door frames, forget the size of Jannah, just the door frame entering, it would take a rider 40 years to go from one side of the door to the other side of the door. That's how huge Jannah is. There's just one door of Jannah. And then he said, but the day will come when that place too will be full. In other words, that, O insan, O ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O servant of Allah ta'ala, make up your mind where you want to go. As Mohammed Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say that if the person, he got a boarding pass for Cape Town, and he's sitting in the aeroplane that's going to Cape Town, somebody asks him, by where are you going? He said, I'm going to Johannesburg. He said, but how are you going to reach Johannesburg? You bought a ticket for Cape Town. You're sitting in an aeroplane that's going to Cape Town. He said, no, inshallah. Inshallah it will happen. Said, that's wishful thinking. You got to make the right effort. If you purchased a ticket for Johannesburg, you said an aeroplane is going to Johannesburg, now inshallah I'll reach Johannesburg. The same way, if we want to go to Jannat, then have I purchased my ticket for Jannat? And am I making the effort to get there? I can only get there with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, but am I making the effort?
in that direction.
I can't be in the coach that's going towards Jahannam and then say, no, I'm going to end up in Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala give me first tawfiq to get into the right coach, to take the right road. So he mentioned this, giving encouragement that, look, we have to strengthen our iman and we have to immerse ourselves in amal, carry out nek amal, good deeds. And then he mentioned, he's mentioning an incident. And wallahi, this is something, you know, ready for us to reflect, that this deen, what qurbani was made for this deen to come alive? So he mentions that I was one of seven. I was one of, in a jamaat, one of seven with Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with, and we were seven of us, going for jihad. And he says that we had nothing to eat, absolutely nothing. So we were eating the leaves of the trees. Eating the leaves of the trees. So much so that we developed ulcers in our mouths. That's not human, but out of desperation, they had to eat it. You see, we're eating these leaves from the trees and we got ulcers in our mouths. But he says, today, Allah Ta'ala has made us governors of cities. In other ahadith is mentioned, some Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they started enjoying the ni'mats of the world. So one Sahabi mentioned, he said that, you know, a lot was done in the early days. Lot of qurbani, lot of mehnat. And at that time there was nothing. And now Allah Ta'ala has opened up the doors. But he says that some of our brothers, they passed away without eating any of this fruit. And he gave the example of Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. He said that Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, he passed away and we didn't even have kafan to cover his body. He only had one sheet. So that sheet was so small that when we're trying to cover his head, his feet is getting exposed. When we're covering his feet, his head is getting exposed. Imagine for kafan. There's no material for kafan. Can we fathom this? Eventually, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that no, cover his head and just put some izkhir, some grass on his feet and bury him like that. So he said, those people, they didn't taste any of the fruit. Today we are plucking the fruits. But their fear was that now we're getting everything in the world. Is there going to be anything for us in Jannah? So this Sahabi, Utbah bin Ghazwan radiallahu ta'ala and ghaliban, so he said that today we are governors of cities. But Allah Ta'ala, protect me, that I must not think great of myself. I must not think great of myself. There is a dua of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira. That, oh Allah, make me insignificant in my own sight. This way of the kuffar, the way of the West is, I must think I'm somebody. The fashion, everything is towards pumping a person up. You must think he's someone. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira. That, oh Allah, I must be totally insignificant in my sight. Wa fi a'yunin nasi kabira. That in the eyes of people, I must have some respect. Otherwise, if the person, nobody respects him, then his wife too won't listen to him, his children too won't listen to him. He won't even be able to do any work of deen, nothing. But his own opinion of himself must be that I am a nobody. I am nothing. I am insignificant. So alhamdulillah, we are coming now towards The first 10 days of Zulhijjah, most probably Allah Ta'ala knows best, Sunday night the moon can be sighted. So ulama must be educating you. You know also, you know, those who are doing qurbani, then it is mustahab that from the time the moon is sighted, then we don't cut nails and remove any hair, etc. from the body. So you must try and do all that before. And then these are beautiful days and nights that Allah Ta'ala is blessing us with. Beautiful days and nights. Every day, those first nine days of Zulhijjah, every day that a person fasts, he gets the sawab of 1 year. We keep Ramadan fast 1 month, so much of mashakka, difficulty to keep that 1 month's roza. Yeah, 1 day's roza in the sawab, 1 year you're getting. And then every night, one is in Ramadan Sharif, we have to look for the Laylatul Qadr. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say it's 5 flights, you know, to make sure you got your boarding pass. But these nights you don't have to even look. Allah Pak has given us, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us that every night you make ibadat, sawab of Laylatul Qadr. Now how foolish it will be if we don't take advantage of the opportunity. What excuse are we going to have if we don't take advantage of the opportunity? So at least some portion of the night. And this time in the year, the Buzrugani Deen used to love these cold months. Why? They say it's very easy to keep Nafal Roza. The days are short and it's cooler, so you don't feel so thirsty, etc. And the day also is short. And then the nights are long. So you can have a good sleep also, and you can be at Tahajjud Guzar also. The night is so long, the bed gets tired of us. The body too gets tired of sleep. When a person wakes up, he goes to bed 10 o'clock too, he can have a good 6 hours straight, 6 hours sleep, and he wakes up 4:30, he still got time to read Tahajjud also. So it's a perfect month to become a Tahajjud Guzar. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq. The sad thing is that unfortunately sometimes we as an ummah, we are not keeping deen in front of us. We have become now so worldly orientated that everything is just about the dunya. It's either about making money, it's either about having a good time, it's either about chilling out, eating out. Life has become about that. Entertainment. Now you look at this amal of qurbani. In the build-up to qurbani, one is supposed to be building their taqwa. What a test Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he is prepared to put the knife on his own child's throat because it's the hukam of my Allah. As much as I love this child, but my love for Allah Ta'ala is more. What level of iman that must be? What level of taqwa that must be? That your own child you are prepared to put the knife on the throat. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if Allah Ta'ala wanted, and if Allah Ta'ala made that the hukam, this is just the mercy of Allah that Allah Ta'ala changed the child and gave the animal to slaughter. But if Allah Ta'ala has the right, Allah Ta'ala could have told us that you must slaughter your son, what would have been our condition? But Allah in His mercy has told us to slaughter the animals. So now, in the build-up to this, we are supposed to be building that love for Allah Ta'ala, for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the akhirat, taqwa, protect my gaze, protect my mind, protect my heart. But what is happening in the ummah is now in the build-up to this, you got fairs taking place. Everywhere fairs are taking place. And if you read the adverts of these fairs, they inviting to what? Mendi, artists, kawanu, food trucks, and clowns, and chill out till late night. the chill out evening, close at 1, 2 in the morning, some of them 12 in the night, some 2, 1, 2 in the morning. What lifestyle is that? Is that our lifestyle? Is that our lifestyle? It's not our lifestyle. Today it has become, wherever there's food being sold somewhere, right, the whole ummah is there. Everybody is running there. Allah Ta'ala has given us izzat. We got homes, food in the house. With izzat we can sit with our family and eat. But we want to live like refugees, war refugees. Go out, sit down, take your wife, children. What zillat that is. Yeah, in Durban it's so sickening. Families sit on the pavements and eat. They take their mother, take their wife, daughter, sitting on the pavement, pay top dollar to have a meal on the pavement. You want to be like a hunga boy. So when we going to behave like this, Allah Ta'ala can make zawali ni'mat. That these people don't appreciate their homes. They don't appreciate their food in the house. They don't appreciate the privacy I've given them. That their wife can be in privacy, daughter can be. No, they want to be out. Allah protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah give us all hidayat. Allah Ta'ala accept everybody's ibadat, amal. And when you are making all your du'as, everything, then remember me also. And remember the entire ummah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.